Hello, and welcome to the Back Issue Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about an older comic book storyline. In this Back Issue Spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing the Claws one-shots released between 2016 and 2019 by Boom Studios. That's Claws and the Witch of Winter, released in 2016. Claws and the Crisis in Xmasville, number one, released in 2017. Claws and the Crying Snowman, released in 2018. And Claws and the Life and Times of Joe Christmas, released in 2019. All of them are one-shots, so technically they're all number ones. James, how you doing tonight?
I am doing well. I'm exhausted listening to those titles.
Yeah, they are not short.
Yeah.
Now, we did a Back Issue Spotlight on the Claws series. That was, seven issues, whatever, last year for the Christmas Day episode.
Yes, we did.
This is going to go up a few days before Christmas, the Monday before. And we've got a creative team of Grant Morrison and Dan Mora.
Yes.
And Grant Morrison, if you've read comics for any length of time, I think you've heard the name. He's definitely done quite a bit, everything from Animal Man on up and down. He took Animal Man from a, sure, we'll do a four-issue miniseries, to a series that wound up going 70-ish issues, give or take.
Wow.
Now, he wasn't on the whole time. He just did, the first 2 years or something. But it was a strong enough footing to go from, again, four issues and done to not done in four issues.
Very cool.
If you've never read those are good read, I think it was Brian Boland, at least doing the cover art. I forget who did the art. Anyways, Grant Morrison, time-tested, well-known. Dan Mora, he's gotten the Russ Manning Newcomer Award when he first started and stuff, so he's gotten some recognition from the get-go. I think he's right now on the verge of really becoming that A-list artist.
I would agree. I really enjoy Dan Mora. I think he's a fantastic artist, and he seems to get a little bit better with every year as it goes along.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's done terrific work here. He did some great work over on Power Rangers, which, if you think about it, that's not the easiest book to draw.
Yeah.
You've got a team of characters that essentially all look more or less the same other than the helmet, so really the colorist is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there, but you've got to be clear enough the colorist gets the colors right, and you've got characters out of costume that need to be recognizable but not the actor likenesses.
So, yeah. Tricky.
Yeah. A lot of room to go wrong. He did a great job there. He's been on Batman Superman World's Finest for, the last 2 years now?
Yeah, I've been enjoying that.
Yeah, doing great work there. He's now moved over to Justice League, both of those last two titles with Mark Waid. And I'm really enjoying his art. He's doing some great stuff. Looking forward to hopefully a long run on Justice League with him. So this is stuff that until you had mentioned it and suggested it for last year, that Back Issue Spotlight for Christmas, I had never read any of the Claws stuff.
Okay, yeah, and I remember we enjoyed last year when we did the original Claws run.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoyed it quite a bit, both of us.
Yeah, I thought it was a ton of fun, and this was my first time reading these four one-shots. And I didn't take a ton of notes this time. Often I'll take a lot and stuff. But there was one kind of recurring theme for me as I was reading these, and that was there is a lot of lore around Santa Claus, Father Christmas, all these Christmas characters, this mythology, if you will, that I am at best passingly familiar with some of it and oblivious to a lot of it. And there was a lot of it here that was kind of referenced in passing.
Yes.
And we've talked before, I think it was with Final Crisis, where Grant Morrison, there's the good Grant Morrison and the bad Grant Morrison.
Yes, there is.
And the bad Grant Morrison leaves half the story off the page.
He did that here a little bit.
I guess for me, he didn't, because he was telling the story of the Witch of Winter.
Yes.
The Crisis in Xmasville, the Crying Snowman. And in there was a lot of other story that was alluded to, hinted at, and kind of, it seemed clear to me there was a bigger backstory. This world is richer than we have seen.
Yes.
But it didn't impact the stories he was telling in the here and now.
Yeah, correct. If you wanted that fleshed out, all that lore and all those things around Christmas, like Father Frost and whatever. And that's literally based on typically what part of Europe that story came from.
Mm-hmm.
Old Europe and the ancient tales. But he didn't give you that, but he would allude to it, and we're all kind of familiar. Oh, Father Frost, I've heard that before. But it didn't really need to be known for what he was telling in the story, like you said. So it did work. He's not going to give you all the stuff, but he's using the characters because they're out there.
Yeah, and it makes me wish that these one-shots had continued past 2019.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think there's a lot more story to be told that they've hinted at. Obviously, new stories could be told. I'd also enjoy if they did a source book on this stuff.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I remember when this stuff was first coming out, I had read it before. I picked up the main Claws series, and I enjoyed it. But these one-shots I had not picked up, so this was completely new to me. And I think it's just because at that point I had cut back on some things, and I'm like, oh, it's just a one-shot. I don't need this. But I am surprised that the stories went like a different direction. You know, they just kind of throw you into almost like a completely different world than what we saw with Claws before.
Yeah, because Witch of Winter, essentially Claws is tracking down some missing kids.
Yeah, exactly. Kidnapping happened, and he's after trying to find the kids.
And really, with that one, I mean, this is Santa as a mix between Conan and almost Batman.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a blast. The Crisis in Xmasville, that one was kind of wild in so much, and we're going to be bouncing between all of them for this, so
yeah,
apologize for that. It was about Pola Cola, which is clearly a standard for Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. And Coca-Cola kind of created our modern envisioning of Santa that we all recognize.
Yes.
And they were playing on that. There were references to Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which is a movie from 1964, I think. Mm-hmm. There was like a Bizarro Claus kind of a thing. We get to Grandfather Frost's, what I'm going to call a bat cave, essentially. So this was dealing a lot with kind of Christmas lore. And again, still kind of, again, that Conan meets superhero vibe.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Crying Snowman, I mean, they've got the Norse mythology, you've got Ragnarok, all of that kind of stuff. They built a little more on Father Frost, who was mentioned in Crisis in Xmasville. He shows up in Crying Snowman. And it's just this growing kind of mythology that's getting built through these one-shots. And it's got the feel of, again, kind of a unshared universe, if you will, of there's more than just what we're seeing in the title, but all we're seeing is what's in the title, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I would say that Crying Snowman, the two that were like really kind of, I don't want to say mind-blowing, but it did, is when we were dealing with the Pola Cola thing, because you're thinking back to the Coca-Cola ads and seeing Santa Claus and everything like that. And then the Crying Snowman, when they started doing Ragnarok, I'm like, wow, we're bringing in things that really aren't even Christmas. It's literally just other mythologies and blending them into the Christmas tales. It was just, it got a little bit trippy, but not overly so to the point where I didn't enjoy it. You know, I was like, wow, this is weird. Ragnarok mixed with Christmas. Let's go.
And in Witch of Winter, we've got Geppetto.
Exactly, Geppetto. And so didn't it feel like almost you were getting into like a Grimm's fairy tales type thing?
Yeah, very much. I think they could do a ton of other stories with this. I think it'd be fun for them to almost do a riff on like Zero Hour.
Yeah.
Time is messed up, so you've got this Christmas guy, but he's meeting the Easter Bunny. He's meeting personifications of other holidays or whatever, which could be fun to kind of, again, expand the lore in that direction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
And it's fun how it keeps its unique identity and stuff while, again, continuing to push the boundaries of this narrative universe.
I agree. It was a ton of fun. And I really love how they pulled in the characters that we saw from the main Claws story, and they're still central to each one of these books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big wolf, I can't remember his name right now.
Lily, I think it is.
Lily, yeah. Lily, it has some heart-wrenching moments, and it adds some emotional resonance in the story. And I really kind of appreciated that because you built a bond with the character, and it humanizes Claws a little bit more, even though, of course, he's very human. But I mean, you get to see more emotions that you wouldn't expect.
One of my favorite things along those lines was they're in the sleigh at one point. They've got to get out of where they're at. And we get the on Dancer, on Prancer, and, you know, the call out of the reindeer and stuff. And it really worked in an almost inspirational kind of fight song sort of a way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. It worked really well. It was a ton of fun. And you see stuff like that, and it brings back nostalgia from childhood, because you remember, you know, seeing the cartoon, the clay characters, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, But there's tweaks to it that make it Claus-centric with, he does have some different reindeers, and they're actually not reindeer.
Yeah, I can just think of, again, so many more stories they could tell with this. I think it'd be fun to have one that's Carol of the Bells.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be Carol the Lady, Bells the Women kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And just to twist it a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. Play with the nomenclature we're used to. Give it a bit more of a backstory that was presumably lost through time or something like that. And again, it's a ton of fun. And it's Christmassy without being materialistic, consumeristic, or religious.
Which is very tough to do, because those are the paths that you feel like most holiday books go down, most Christmas books go down, is that it's either, and not, I'm not saying that's bad, but it's either like overly consumerism and you're just like, okay, or it's overly religious, and which is fine. But this is, it seems like it can appeal to almost anyone. It can appeal to people who are in any one of those camps, and appeal to people who just maybe grew up and have some memories of the songs that you hear at this time of the year.
Or if, I mean, everyone's aware of Christmas, whether you celebrate it or of some other religion, I think it's accessible to them too.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you have a passing knowledge, you can literally, you might not catch on to the, let's say you never saw the cartoon, you know, where they're naming the reindeers, but that's not central to the story. That's just something, a little Easter egg and a reward to you because you knew the jingle from the movie.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. In this day and age, particularly if you're in the States, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you're going to be inundated with Christmas carols, whether you want them or not.
Oh, yeah. You start hearing the music right at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. The turkey drops out of the oven and boom, and the music starts, kind of a deal. It's crazy. But I think the fact that they can be playing on all that Christmas lore without hitting any of those things and without falling into the trap of either being overly sappy or overly cynical.
Yeah.
Is impressive.
It's really impressive. And another thing that I really do appreciate about the whole Claus series is I feel like it's, not to make it sound condescending, but a little bit more mature for us, for the guys who have read comics and we're now age 40, 50, 60, however old you are, versus like when you read the big-bellied Santa Claus with Batman having the team-up. It reads like it's very young, something you're supposed to read with a child. And I'm like, that's not really for me. You know, I'm beyond that. And it's just, I'm at an age where this works for me because it's something so different and fresh. And like you said, Conan is Santa Claus. That works.
Well, again, with a mix of the superheroics in there too.
Exactly. And there's morals and there's ethics and there's a lot of different things that happen in here. Like you said, the superheroics saving children. Everyone can relate to that. Coots have been kidnapped by a witch, and how he goes and saves them and saves the day. The superheroics mixed with, this guy's pretty tough, and he's got a battle axe slung across his back.
Yeah, yeah. This is not a pacifist Santa Claus, that's for sure.
Not at all.
Well, and again, bringing in some of these other characters and the expanded lore, and treating us as intelligent, not having to spoon-feed it to us, yet if we're a little lost, it's not relevant to the story, that's okay too. You know, I appreciated that aspect. I think this is some of Grant Morrison's better writing.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I did enjoy Multiversity, which we did together, even though there were parts of it that was a little bit confusing to me. I had fun with that, but this, I think, is some of his better stuff, because every now and then, like, I read his X-Men stuff, and that worked for me, but it became too much. This works very well for me. I have a ton of fun with it. I like the introductions and the teases to these other characters that, although I don't know them really well, they seem familiar just by the name. I've heard Father Frost. Why I've heard Father Frost, I don't know, but it sounds very familiar. And it probably did to you too, John.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that's the difference between what I thought of this and Multiversity. Here, it was doing the Claus version of these characters, or these mythologies, this lore, whatever you want to put it.
Yeah.
Whereas in Multiversity, it was supplanting, reinventing, and replacing.
Yes, something very different.
So while I thought Thunderworld or whatever was good over there, that's not the Shazam family I grew up with. And here, this isn't trying to supplant the Santa Claus I grew up with.
No, it's not. It's something where it's almost like, I don't want to even say Elseworlds, it's almost like a reinterpretation of, you know, with the things that we all know, the tropes we know, instead of a reindeer, you have a wolf. Does it change the whole mythology? No, it's just something that feels familiar, but it's Grant Morrison's telling of the tales. That's all it is.
Well, and again, the wolf is an addition. It doesn't replace the reindeer.
Correct, because he's not named Rudolph and he doesn't have a red nose.
Yeah.
But we all kind of get who it is and who what it's supposed to represent.
Although, again, that's another story they could do, is did Rudolph exist in this world and what was his story?
And I'm here for it. He has every year. I would love to see him come out with a new one-shot or something. And like you said, a source book, because it could be really cool.
Yeah, I'd totally be down for that. And I don't think it'd be a huge deal for Grant Morrison to find the time to pen a one-shot every year. I could be a little bit more for Dan Moore to find the time to draw it.
Yeah, and especially, we haven't really talked about the life and times of Joe Christmas, but that was like basically the 25 days in December leading up to Christmas Day and showing ages of Claus throughout the years.
Well, I think really it was almost an advent calendar with each page being, you know, the picture of the day, and it's told backwards in time.
Yeah, of Joe.
It's Joe Christmas's story jumping back 3 years every page.
Yeah, 3 years, and showing him interacting with Claus and sometimes Lily the Wolf and other characters. But yeah, him and Claus and different things. And it was just beautiful art. It was literally an art book, no text in there, and none was needed. But Dan Mora definitely did all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, Dan Mora did a great job there. Ed Dukeshire, who had lettered the other books, got the year off.
Yep.
Hopefully he was okay with that.
Exactly.
I liked it. I liked the art. I didn't like the story was told backwards.
Yes.
And there was a lot of things that, I don't know, maybe if I'd read it forwards, it would have worked better for me. But we see Joe, we'd gotten his parents and some of this stuff. There is a story unfolding there, or folding, since they're doing it backwards. It didn't work for me the way the other one-shots did.
No, I agree. I kind of questioned why they went this route and why they did this, other than Dan Mora didn't have a gig at the time. That's how I felt coming out of it. And they said, hey, Dan, run amok, do 25 drawings for us. We'll package it and sell it. I don't know.
I took it as this was easier for Grant Morrison to write.
Yeah, I don't know how much writing there was.
Here's what's on each page.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And it may have just been literally a one or two sheet script of, okay, this page, they're singing the carols. This one, we get Joe with a Santa suit. You know, he's Santa the next page, whatever. But this is also something Dan Mora could have probably knocked out over the course of a year fairly easily.
Yeah, just like one spare day, do a page real quick, boom, done.
Yeah, this is something you could put down and come back to easily between pages.
Yeah, it was fun. It was something just to look at. So if you're a fan of art, especially a fan of Dan Mora's art, you'd enjoy this. But there's literally no text in the book at all.
Well, I mean, there's the year and the how old Joe is, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A year, yeah. 1942, 12 years old, that's it.
And the December and which day it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I really had mixed feelings on this. On the one hand, I liked what they were trying to do, I liked the art, but I breezed through this in minutes.
Yeah, me too. I was done with it probably about 3 minutes.
Yeah. So, it certainly doesn't have the staying power or didn't grab my attention the way the other one-shots did.
If I would have picked this up in previews and pre-ordered it, I probably would have felt a little ripped off. I would have felt a little upset just because 2 minutes you flip through it, and it's beautiful art. But when I buy a comic, I like to spend a little bit of time and read a story.
Yeah. The story was implied, not told.
Exactly.
I mean, well, this is literally the epitome of show, don't tell, in the wrong way.
Exactly. But is it still working for you, though, overall? You like the Claus universe, and you like these books?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a ton of fun. Again, I think there's a lot of the backstory, the history, the mythology of these characters that is left to be explored. I would love to see in a source book. I'd love to see in more one-shots. And it's got its unique feel and style to it. Because, I mean, we've seen Christmas stories in Marvel and DC for decades. We've seen Santa show up in various ways and forms there and in other stories and stuff. This, again, is veering away from the jolly old man in the red suit trope,
yeah.
Yet acknowledging it too.
Exactly. Acknowledging it and not replacing it. But this is honestly, in my opinion, just a more fun rendering of maybe some Christmas mythology.
Yeah.
And it's just a ton of fun. And I'm happy that I took a chance on it, because this was the, like I said, most of the holiday theme stuff, you know, Christmas stuff. I can't say I've ever read a Hanukkah book, but I've read Christmas books. I don't even know if they make Hanukkah books, but they might.
Well, they've done Hanukkah stories, because it's not uncommon to get one of those in the holiday special that Marvel and DC used to do every year.
Yeah, usually those holiday books I skip, just because it's like the jolly fat guy and teaming up with Scooby-Doo or whatever it is, you know, and I'm like, ah, that's not for me. I'll just skip it. And then I was like, Grant Morrison, and I read the pitch. I remember reading it. I was like, this is different. I got to check this out. And I was like, all right, this is cool. This works. And then when we were picking a holiday themed thing, I was like, let's do this. I remember this. It was cool.
I think it was a great suggestion last year, and I'm glad you made it, because this would have flown under my radar otherwise. I've got the, I guess, Complete Clause hardcover now.
Yeah. Did you crack it open?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you like it? Is it beautiful?
Again, this is just some terrific story and art. So, yeah.
Nice. Nice.
And it's a nice presentation of it, too. So, again, my only disappointment with this is that I don't think we've gotten anything out of this since 2019.
Yeah, it's been 5 years. It's been a while. I wish that Grant Morrison would revisit it. And I always check the previews around. It would be the October timeframe, you know, when they're soliciting stuff. And when you don't see it, it makes me a little bit sad. I'm like, that was my go-to holiday book. And it's been missing in action for 5 years, unfortunately.
But I got to wonder how much of that is Grant wants to do it with Dan. Dan's been kind of busy.
Because Dan has been doing Batman, Superman, and now he's doing, what is it?
Justice League.
Justice League. That's right. Yeah.
And again, he was doing Power Rangers. I forget exactly which years those were, but he's been steadily working. And I think, again, his star is on the rise.
It really is. Him being over at DC is just going to make him a little more popular. But I hope that they do team up again in the future and give us something good from this world, because I had a lot of fun and I enjoyed that we read it together. It was fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If this is all there is of it, I will be disappointed. If they need a little more time to align schedules or whatever, that's okay too. But I would think they could at least do an every other year thing or something like that, even if they've got to squeeze it in between other projects.
Yeah, I would agree. And if people are out there listening and aren't a fan of Christmas books, which I am not the fan of Christmas books, comic books, give this a spin, because honestly, this is very different. And like I said, Christmas books don't normally work for me. This worked. So give it a try.
Oh yeah, I've reviewed tons of Christmas books in years past on the podcast. This is, I think, among the top tier of them, because it's avoiding the standard tropes.
Yeah.
Hero goes Christmas shopping and, you know, somebody tries to rob the mall or something like that. Or somebody has lost all hope. They need to have the spirit of Christmas visit them or something like that. Those tend to be a bit more cliche.
Yes, exactly. Whereas this is very different.
Yeah, yeah. And again, they've told the 7-issue miniseries. They've told these one-shots. I don't think they're anywhere close to tapping the well dry as to other stories that could and should take place in this universe.
No, I think there's a lot of world and a lot of writing and a lot of stories to be told. And if they revisit this, I am here for it. And I'll even pick up a new hardcover if they come out with it, you know? Get two deluxe hardcovers going.
Yeah, I'd love for them to have enough material to fill another hardcover.
Yeah.
I mean, that would take probably another decade, but I'm good for the ride.
Me too. I'm here for it.
I think the big question then is, now that we've kind of tapped out of all the current Clause material, what are we thinking about for next year if we do a themed back issue spotlight?
And that's where I'm stumped, because I don't get a lot of those things. So we may have to turn to our Slack buddies, or if anyone wants to email us and give us some suggestions, because I don't read a lot of that stuff, but we're going to have to read something next year that's not Clause unless we get into some new stuff. So please give us some suggestions on Slack or on the forum, or send John and I an email and we'll consider it, because we need some new material.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I've done back issue spotlights. Look at the episode archive and stuff. There've been a couple of back issue spotlights on Christmas stuff. Trying to remember if I covered some of them in the weekly comic spotlight back 15 years ago or whenever. So trying to find something that we haven't already done would be good too. And there's not to say we have to do a Christmas themed thing next year, but certainly I enjoy kind of the themed back issue spotlights when they align with the schedule well. And again, last year it landing on Christmas worked great.
Yeah, that's nice.
And this is just an obvious follow-up to it, and one that I really enjoyed.
Well, I had fun with it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I'm sad to see it go, but I'm hoping for more in the future.
Yeah. Again, they may have had to take a hiatus for a while, but I certainly hope they're not just totally done with this.
Fingers crossed.
Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool. Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The deadline is typically the second Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Check the main page of the website for more information and the exact deadline for the next preview spotlight. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayall. And thanks again for listening.